This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Welcome, all you Chicago Bulls fans, to another episode of the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined by my buddy and co-host, Trey Hill, after a horrendous, terrible, awful, just disheartening, disgusting, grotesque showing against a previously 8-39 team that is now a 9-39 team in the Orlando Magic. Obviously, the Bulls are down big, a lot of bodies here, Trey, but just piss poor effort, man. I have no better word for it.
Yeah, Jamal Mosley, the Orlando Magic head coach, I felt like he definitely had his team prepared to play with a good game plan in terms of just how often and how hard his team was cutting as soon as they would run like the pick and roll. They would have that backside person cut. And I think one thing you and I have both kind of harped on the last couple games is the defensive, symbiosis. Everyone has to think on defense. There are moments of hesitation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll rotate to the wrong people. They're not playing on a string on the defensive end. And I felt like the Magic really took advantage of that with their off-ball movement.
Yeah, there's a lot of miscommunication. And with defense, I mean, you know, I've talked a lot about it on this pod in our previous pod trade that, you know, defense at the NBA level, it's a true full unit thing. So having all these different bodies in there tonight, you had Tyler Cook in the starting lineup. Obviously, you've got Malcolm Hill playing minutes. You've got Matt Thomas playing minutes. I mean, just people that, you know, weren't getting minutes at the beginning of the season. And you're trying to play defense with these guys without much practice time because we're in the middle of the season now. Obviously, you know, we're playing a lot of 4 games in 5 nights and 3 games in 4 nights. And there's just no practice time. You can't really work on this stuff. So this is the same thing we saw last year when Vooch came over in the trade is, you know, you don't get practice time to really work on this stuff. And it just looks absolutely uncoordinated and like not a professional basketball team. And that's what we're seeing, man, on the defensive side of things. But the offensive side, that's where I was really let down tonight. You know, I expected the Magic aren't a good team. There's no kind way to say that. They're not. One of the worst defenses too in the NBA. And, you know, tonight we just couldn't capitalize. And I put a lot of the onus on Vooch. I think Vooch is going to get a lot of the ire. I know I saw you out there defending him earlier, Trey. And you know, again, I think this is a very skilled guy. I'm not like at the end of my rope, but man, it's hard to keep pulling on that rope for me, you know?
Well, in reference to earlier, someone had said that they thought they were out on Vooch because of this game. And for me, Vucevic, especially on defense, he is a guy that you have to have the right personnel around him. And the Bulls simply don't have that right now. And yeah, Vucevic definitely had his issues on the defensive end, but a lot of that is because he doesn't have the good point of attack defenders to help solve things because he is the last line of defense. So when things break down in front of him, he's being asked to clean up other people's messes. And he's the one that, you know, looks bad because he's the last one getting beat. But when he has to guard a guy and a half and he has someone cutting, you know, underneath the rim, it's difficult for him to have to come back. The offensive side was where he really let us down tonight. And I think he let Wendell Carter Jr. just kind of get the better of him. Wendell Carter really came to play. I think he was really motivated after the trade last year. And It just wasn't a good showing at all for Vooch. Another one of those just games where nothing was falling for him. And on the defensive end, he's a step slower than everyone else. That's just the reality of it. You know, he's our big guy. That's why he does the drop coverage. And the Magic just really did a good job of taking advantage of that, you know, that 1 second delay that the Bulls defense had where they weren't, you know, pre-rotating. They weren't, you know, covering the guys. People were having chances to shoot. They shot wide open threes when they shot threes. And then whenever the Bulls would, you know, be recklessly closing out because they are scrambling because they're not, you know, on that string, the Magic just drove right by them and got all of their points just right in the paint. I don't have their paint points up in front of me, but I imagine it was like in the 40s, I believe. And then they also shot 48% from three or 46% from three. Like, you can't have teams scoring in the paint and from three and expect to win a game.
Yeah, just the defense is just unwatchable at this point. I need to just take it for what it is. There's a lot of guys out, like I said, because just trying to watch it and make sense of it is just infuriating. But like I said, you know, not a lot of time to practice on the stuff. I'm not going to give them a pass. I think you can play better defense than what we've been seeing. But I do think that there's some excuses here for as to why it's not, you know, good at the moment. But yeah, Vucevic, you know, not to forget about that. He shot four for 19 today. 13 points, 13 rebounds. So he did get that double-double we were looking for.
Including 2 of 11 from inside the three-point arc. It wasn't even like he was taking a lot of threes and those weren't what was falling. There were just shots from all over the court that he should have made that just they weren't falling.
And I saw him towards the end of the – I think it was the fourth quarter. They took some – you know, had the camera on him and he was on the bench and he had the towel on his head, like hiding his face. And, you know, from you were talking to Stephen Cameron yesterday, I did, for a pregame show. And, you know, he was saying that, you know, Vooch is just a very lovable guy, very nice guy. You want to root for him. And, you know, I definitely feel that. I don't have any ill will towards Vucevic as a person. It's just on the basketball court. It's just really, really tough for me to to see him as our long-term option. I'm not going to say he's a bad basketball player. There's no way I'm going to say that. I'm not stupid. He's a very good basketball player. It seems like the fit here in Chicago with what we have going on around him, what we're doing on offense, what we're doing on defense. And it looked better obviously when we were healthy. So
I was getting ready to say, I think you might swing back towards the Vooch because you're on both sides of it. I think you're going to be back on the positive side once more guys come back healthy. To me, it's like people when they blame Rudy Gobert for the Utah Jazz losing in the playoffs. Like, no, it's because the team around him isn't built to succeed. You can't ask your center to cover up for, you know, three negative perimeter defenders. And especially, you know, Vucevic isn't nearly the defender Gobert is. I'm of the opinion he needs to be our, you know, our third best player, our fourth best player. And also that he needs to be on that totem pole for in terms of usage. Having him be our second option, I think, is really kind of limiting him. I think he's just not meant to be that anymore, at least not with this team here in Chicago. They also, one easy way to point out the depth problem the Bulls have right now. At one point, the Magic were up 26-0 on reserve points. Mm-hmm. The Bulls only had what? 10. The Bulls had 10 bench points tonight. Mm-hmm. The Magic had 3 bench players that outscored the entire Bulls bench. Okiki had 11. Brazdiak, I'm not sure how to say that one, had 11. And then Mo Wagner had 23. So to have 3 separate bench players from the Magic outscore our entire bench, it doesn't matter which area of the game you look at, the Bulls lost that tonight.
I think I actually have that in my notes. Who is this guy? Because I play a lot of fantasy basketball. I watch a lot of NBA. I have no idea who I think – I'm hoping I pronounced this right. Ignis Brazdeikis is. He was out there scoring, man. He had, like you said, 11 points, 4 of 6 from shooting, 3 of 3 from behind the arc. Of course, he just shot 100% and looked like a freaking all-star against AR bad defense. And just, of course, the Bulls just seem to get these guys getting hot against them. I remember Rubio shot like 7 of 11 from the behind the arc or whatever it was last time he played us. It's just – you kind of get sick of it. But – No, man, it's you're right. You know, the depth is a real issue here. You know, whenever we have our guys go out, we have to have Kobe out there. We have to have Vucevic out there. We have to have DeMar out there. DeMar was incredible. I mean, just watching this guy play is just a delight. I'm so happy he's on the team. He was 15 for 21 from the field. Wow, ridiculous. 41 points, 11 of 13 from the line.
Yeah.
3 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. So just balled out, man. And every time this guy touches the ball on offense, it's like you're waiting for something special to happen. So it's just really incredible. And you know, hopefully we don't waste that. But it's just the injuries are piling up. And, you know, obviously Caruso's going to be out for a while. I haven't gotten your take on that, Trey. How do you feel? You know, give me your Grayson Allen take today.
Not even a Grayson Allen take. There's also another play they referenced in it where Suggs from the Magic was taken out by THT from the Lakers. And for me, it's this, when you see a guy coming in from one side and then you have another guy come in, and it's almost like two cars colliding at an intersection. You can't allow guys to come in and have that hard foul when it's at an angle that forces the guy, you know, to land on his back, to land almost on his head in Caruso's case. So to me, I would like to see them have like a, you know, a 3-5 game suspension. Anytime that happens, anytime you kind of come cross body with someone and take out that defenseless offensive player, because that's what they are. They're going up for a shot. We saw it with Patrick Williams earlier in the year with Mitchell Robinson. The offensive players going up, they're defenseless to take an NFL, you know, lingo. And that defenseless receiver, you can't take them out in the NFL. So I don't know why the NBA is letting teams do that when these players don't even have pads.
We talked about Jokic and his hit on Markieff Morris. Markieff Morris still hasn't played a basketball game since then. And, you know, Jokic got a 1-game suspension. And I know that there's complicated things there. People don't feel, you know, they don't like the Morris twins. I get that. There's a whole reputation thing there. But, and I heard this on the radio today. I agree with it. You know, how is it fair that a guy can miss, you know, 3, 4, 5 months of basketball and the other guy misses, you know, a game and gets to go play Xbox at home or whatever and then come back and basically live their life?
Well, in that case, he hit him first.
Well, sure. It was a retaliation. I get it. But at the same time, like I said, this guy's been out for 30
years. Caruso's a defenseless guy jumping in the air, getting taken out. Morris is the guy who just went and sucker punched somebody and then turned around to brag to his friends.
Yeah.
There's a different context to me.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you guys, at the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls show. Listeners, please take a moment to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant fantasy basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it right now. I don't really know if there's much else we can take away from this game. Speaking of Jalen Suggs, though, you brought up Jalen Suggs. Can I say, though, the Bulls play the Magic again on February 1st, and I think the Magic will probably be wise to sit like Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner and Mo Wagner. Because, man, I just don't, you know, Jalen Suggs hits a dunk at the end, gets a dunk at the end of the game, gets a fast break dunk. And then he does the thing, you know, the thing on his chest where he's like, Magic, yeah, this is our house, blah, blah, blah. Dude, you guys got 9 wins on the season now. 9-39.
Well, that's why they were so excited. They don't
four
get, they
times
don't get
as many games
often
as you've won. I'm happy that they're excited, man. I get that, but the taunting a little bit ridiculous when you've got 9 wins on the season, in my opinion. So I think they'll be smart to sit those guys on February 1st when the Bulls play them again. They're going to be in Chicago for that game. I don't know. I think when we have our guys back and healthy, it might be a little bit of a different story in this matchup. But no, man, I'm glad they. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it's a moot point because I think Zach's getting ready to come back. But I think what the Bulls really need is I feel like they need an offensive spark off the bench. Mm. I feel like that would really help them because they have just kind of that dead time late in quarters. And if they can't get off to fast starts, they at least need somebody to kind of bring them back up. I'd almost like to see Kobe come off the bench and still finish games, but just be that, you know, that Manu Ginobili role if things continue to spiral downward. Because it seems like when he is, you know, the guy on offense, when he is aggressive driving, he had a few really good drives to the basket tonight for the Bulls. Whenever, you know, things were – not that it wasn't – it slipped away for a long time, but the Bulls did kind of stay in that 15-point range, and some of that was Kobe being aggressive and driving to the lane. it was, you know, 90% DeMar, but I thought Kobe was also pretty effective when he had the ball in his hands. So,
yeah, and this was a crappy loss. Yeah, and this is kind of predictable, but at least I predicted it. And but I had assumed, man, he's fallen off the cliff a little bit. And it's statistically, I think he's still having an impact on the game. I still love him as a rookie and as a player. 40 minutes tonight, though, 2 of 6 from the field, just 7 points, 5 rebounds, no assists, 3 turnovers. He did have a block. You know, again, I thought there were some nice plays that he had out there, but that aggression that we were seeing in that stretch of games, it's kind of disappeared. I didn't expect like such a hard regression, but you know, it has come way down. Any idea why he's less involved in the offense, Trey? Any thoughts on that?
I think he's become more of a focal point in the scouting report. Between the guys being out, him stepping up, and teams realizing, oh, we have to do this with Io. We have to, because you and I were pleasantly surprised, but we were surprised by his playmaking. We weren't the only ones that surprised. Teams in the league didn't know he could do that. That's why he fell so far in the draft. So as he's evolved, teams have been adjusting. And I think teams have just been, they've adjusted, and now he has to continue to, you know, adapt to that and find ways to be effective. And again, I know it's tough to keep saying, well, we have so many guys out, but Io, whenever he can have the worst perimeter defender on him, because we've got DeRozan, Kobe White, you know, Zach LaVine, we've got Caruso out there, he's getting the worst guy on him, and he's able to exploit that. But right now, he's getting the second guy out there, or the third guy. And I think it's just catching up to him a little bit. The NBA talent, just kind of seeing what he is and being able to game plan a little for it.
Kobe had a decent game, 8 of 18 from the field, 44%. That's about average for him. Only 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. He's been struggling from beyond the arc the last couple of games now. But that's just how it goes sometimes, man. You know, up and down for shooters. Sometimes you go 1 for 7. Sometimes you go 5 of 8, you know. It's just how it goes when you take jumpers and you're a volume-type shooter. 5 of 7 from the line, I'd like to see him do a little bit better there. But no assists. 0 assists from Kobe White. And I know that was a struggle all night for all the Bulls, so don't want to single him out, only him, but he's playing the point guard position, right? That's a little bit surprising.
It was. I had at least 2 things written down where he had a couple nice passes and the guys just didn't finish. Vucevic, there was one early on where Kobe just gave him a perfect bunny and he missed it. And he was so wide open, he missed the shot, and Vucevic got the layup, got the offensive rebound and the layup. So assist, if he'd gotten those 2, it would look a little bit better, but I'm satisfied with his playmaking. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't all-star-ish tonight, but DeRozan also kind of had a lot of the usage, and they tried to get Vucevic involved early. I didn't feel like they put Kobe White in a position to run the offense enough, and to see him go 7 of 11 from inside the arc, it's hard to argue with that kind of success. So I'm not going to jump down his throat on the assists, but that's one of the reasons I also think if this trend continues and Zach maybe has a setback or something, I think he'd be good to come off the bench when DeRozan's not in the game, because he can be that offensive player, I think, whenever he's given the opportunity.
Yeah, he profiles better as just a heater off your bench and you know, a Lou Williams type. If he gets hot and drops 20, then it's fantastic. Your team has a really good chance of winning. If he doesn't have it, then you don't need to play him big minutes. You can play him, you know, 15 to 20 to 25 minutes. And hopefully, you know, he provides you enough out there. But his defense has been better of late. And that's a good thing to see. And I thought tonight he had some pretty good defensive moments also, with some strips on Cole Anthony. So, you know, I don't think it was a bad game for Kobe. I think it was a decent game. I think he's been pretty solid for us, and, you know, overall. Had a bit of a bad game against the Bucks, but so did Io. So he's done pretty well, though. So, yeah, Mo Bamba went out with those 3 fouls in the first 4 minutes. And, of course, we got to see Mo Wagner come in, who's a guy that doesn't even get rotational minutes for them usually. The guy drops 23 points on us, makes us look just like the weakest interior defense in the league, which we very well might be since, you know, all these people are out. But man, they had, the Wagner brothers, the super Wagner brothers had 17 of the first, 23 points of the first quarter for the Magic. Insanity, man. What'd you think about Franz? What'd you think about Mo? Do you think Mo is going to get more minutes for the Orlando Magic?
Maybe a few, but to me, it was really just the Bulls' defense breaking down early on. And Mo was like, he was, I would say, the biggest beneficiary of those cutting points. If I don't have, you know, Synergy hasn't updated yet, I can't go in and scope that out just yet. But I would bet a good amount of money that a lot of his came off of cuts. And then the interior passing that they had, I thought was really impressive. And that's how, when they would pull Vooch out with the actions, and then, you know, he's having to backpedal back towards the paint, their ability to kind of just pass it around him and to get guys shots while Vooch isn't back there to protect the rim. If Vooch wasn't back there to protect the rim, we don't have anyone else that's really big enough to protect the rim. Cook did a great job against Giannis the other night, but that wasn't, you know, protecting the rim and rebounding the ball. That was staying in front of Giannis and basically just being a temporary roadblock. I thought his minutes were really disappointing. I thought he was the biggest weak link tonight on the defensive end. Just a lot of slow rotations, a lot of things that just didn't – that need. If he'd been a regular guy for, you know, the last 15 games, that would probably be cleaned up just from getting to play and getting those reps. But it was a lot of just being a step slow. And that brother-to-brother connection, that I think that matters. And – you know, Mo sees, oh, they're doubling Franz, you know, they're doubling Franz, and there's nobody in the paint. I can just duck down here, and I know he's going to see me. And the chemistry was there. I think that was pretty clear from the stat you read.
Yeah. Mo Wagner, 23 points and 4 assists, and most of them, I think, were to his brother Franz, which was just insanity. If you guys were on there, props tonight, props to you, because I never would have called that. But Mo Bamba only managed about 7 minutes with 4 fouls, which is just bad, which led to all those 25 Mo Wagner minutes. But speaking of props, we have a new brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. I'm playing another Thrive Fantasy tonight. Still not going well, man. This is tough, picking 10 of these props out there. I'm going to have to, like, get some ringers in here and tell me what to pick, because this is hard, man. But it's good times. The Bulls, I know they said Zach and Javante, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, they both flew to meet the Bulls in OKC for our game tomorrow. So I'm hoping that means that they are questionable for tomorrow and maybe even on the side of coming back. What do you think, Trey?
I think if there is literally a 1% chance they come back tomorrow, they will be on that court after the showing tonight.
Yeah, the Bulls need to win, man. They need to right the ship. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that you said exactly what I was going to say was if the Magic had won this game, or not the Magic, if the Bulls had won this game, they, and, you know, it was iffy, they might sit out. But just this losing streak, it's what, up to 6 of 7, I think, they've lost now. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of winnable games coming up. So I think the Bulls, surely they sense that they could use some wins as they continue to fall down the standings.
You're right, Trey. And don't call me Shirley. The Bulls are now a game behind the Brooklyn Nets for first place, and they are tied with Milwaukee, who are also a game behind. The Heat are in second and a half game behind the Nets. So the Bulls are now sitting in third place. Danger of slipping to fourth or even fifth. I mean, there's just so few games separating first through sixth place right now in the East. It's truly wide open. So I don't know. I think the recent performances, Trey, and we can really talk about this a little bit more when we have a longer show, but I think they might be getting the Bulls management to really seriously consider making some kind of trade. Maybe not now, but, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks, if this thing doesn't get right and we don't start getting bodies back. I think having Caruso and Lonzo Ball both out was really, really, like, a little bit of a panic mode situation, because those guys are so important to what we do against good teams. So what do you think? Better chance that they make a move now?
I still don't see them trading for a guard just because of the guard depth that we have. But No, I don't think they're more likely to, because I think the need is still the same need, that 3-4 who can guard, you know, the Giannis, Kevin Durant, and those obviously don't grow on trees. But I think that was something that the Bulls needed before, and I think that's something that they need just as much now. But I think this recent skid, I don't think it affects it, because I think I trust this management to be more level-headed than to let, you know, a five-game streak here or there, either way, affect things. Now, if it was the Garpax era, you could definitely can talk me into it. But I have more faith in AK to just kind of be more steady.
Yeah. One last thing I want to ask you, Trey, before we drop here. I want to ask you about Mr. Wendell Carter Jr. I know you mentioned him. You said he had a good game. Because when I was talking to Stephen Cameron in our last episode, which was just a pregame, we were talking a little bit of Magic, a little bit of Bulls. Please go check it out if you haven't already. I know you probably don't want to hear about the Magic Bulls fans, but he had some nice insights. But, no, he was talking a little bit about when the offense, you know, runs through Wendell Carter, when he's looking aggressive, the Magic look fantastic on the offensive side, what he was saying. And that kind of surprised me, because, you know, obviously that wasn't exactly his identity with the Bulls, right? But I can't say he's wrong, because after watching tonight, you know, when Wendell Carter was aggressive, and he definitely was against Vooch and everything, you know, they look good, man, and he had a good game. He played very well. What were your thoughts on Wendell Carter Jr. tonight watching him?
I thought he came out extremely aggressive. You could tell he had a chip on his shoulder playing his old team. I mean, the entire Magic squad came out with a chip on their shoulder. I think they used that trade from last year's motivation to see the Bulls didn't want you guys. They didn't think that you were worth having around. And Wendell Carter, he takes quality shots. He's in the right spot. He does a great job protecting the rim. I think he had a really solid block at the rim against somebody, but I can't recall who it was, just protecting the rim on a rotation. And he even shot 2 of 3 from the three-point line tonight. Mm. So it's nice to see him succeed. It's not as nice to see him succeed against us. But he was the Magic's second leading scorer even, first leading scorer in the starting lineup. So good game for him. He only played 28 minutes. So,
yeah.
Man.
Just, yeah. So my next question I'm leading up to it here, Trey, and you might have already guessed what it would be, but, you know, if we could turn back time and take that away, and we have Wendell Carter Jr. and Daniel Gafford with the pieces that we have now, is that good enough for you, do you think? Do you think that's
Do you give me Franz, too? Do I get Franz?
I don't give you Franz. No, I'm not even going to include him. I'm just going to include the big men in the situation, because I'm going to ask if it's better, worse, the same as having Vooch with us. I mean, does that give us obviously gives us a different...
I would rather have Vooch than Carter and Gafford. Let alone I believe we also got Troy Brown Jr. in that one. So I'm still a believer in Vooch when we have our entire team. I think when you have Zach, when you have DeMar, you've got Caruso out there. I hesitate to even include Patrick Williams, but I'm going to go ahead and include him because I think he'll be back for the playoffs. I think when you have those guys out there, having the center that can be the playmaker that Vooch is, that I know tonight, notwithstanding, can, you know, at least hit 50% of his shots around the rim, which he's been able to do since he came back from the COVID spell he was out. That's what we need from him. He has to keep putting up the double-doubles, which he's shown he can at least rebound, if nothing else. So, no, I'd still take Vooch, but seeing Wendell Carter Jr. tonight, it definitely makes it a little bit closer than I care to admit.
Yeah, definitely. I think the jury's still out, obviously, on who, quote-unquote, wins that trade. I don't think anyone necessarily has to win a trade. I think it was good for both teams. I think everyone agrees on that. I just want to see Vooch play better, man. I need to see it. I want to see it. Hopefully tomorrow is a better day for him. Hopefully that knee doesn't seize up on him and he's able to play tomorrow. I'll start there because obviously we had a little bit of an injury scare towards the end of the game there where he fell on top of Wendell Carter Jr. and was limping around for a little bit. He came back in the game though, but that might be one of those injuries that kind of swells up on you overnight. He might not be able to suit up for the next one, which is against the OKC Thunder tomorrow. So I'm hoping he plays, Trey. I hope if he does play that he just destroys a very weak interior defense there in OKC, because he needs to.
It would just be the perfect narrative for the Bulls season, though, to get Zach back tomorrow and to have another starter go out.
I did
hold my breath when Vooch went down. I was like, oh no, here we go again.
As much as I hate on him, I would say that losing him is probably more important than the other injuries, because we are so thin at the big man position and with size. It would just be terrible. I mean, we've seen what happens when Vooch is out of the game. Even tonight, you know, you see what the bench does, and guys like Mo Wagner are just able to just dunk all over us because there's just literally not enough size to deal with it. So that would be bad, but hopefully that's not the case. And if he does not play, we still do have Tony Bradley on the roster. I don't think Tony Bradley came in the game tonight. Let me just double check.
Six minutes.
Oh, he played minutes that I didn't even notice him, I guess, on the floor. So not the most inspiring thing.
No, his plus minus was even worse than Vucevic's. He was minus six in 6 minutes. So I think that point you made about Vucevic being the most important injury piece to not have, you know, missed time, I think that's one of the reasons his play from game to game gets such a magnifying glass.
Yes, he is definitely under the scope, and he definitely gets more of the ire than he probably deserves. And hopefully if he plays well, he gets more of the credit than he deserves. But we all know that doesn't exactly happen that way. But hey, guys, quickly before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HOOPBALL on the third page to sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. Trey, we have a game tomorrow night, as I've been saying, against the OKC Thunder at 7 o'clock Central. I will be working tomorrow night, so I'm going to try to tune in. Might catch a little bit of it here and there, but I think we'll both be on to recap that for 20-30 minutes after that game's over, and hopefully we're recapping a Bulls win. But I am your host. I'm Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Final Finally.
All right. And don't forget to follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls. And please leave us a review while you're here. Just a quick take 5 minutes and leave us just a 5-star review. Let us know how we're doing. I really want to hear from you guys. But that's going to be all for us. Until then, go Bulls.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.